We're going to do something different than we normally do. And that is, I'm going to, in a few moments, need all of the children to come forward. And children could be anyone from, you really should be at least three, younger than 74 maybe. If you want to come forward, you really can. You're going to get a chance to help us figure out something. And what we need to figure out is we need to figure out what in the world we are going to do with the thing in this box. Now, the thing in the box is not really that important. In fact, it was free, other than I had to pay to spray paint it, but that was about it. But the thing in the box is going to help us understand one very, very, very important question. We started this morning by reading a paraphrase of Jesus coming back to life, right? And the question that has to be asked is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus was hung on a cross, killed by men who knew perfectly well how to kill people, and then he came back to life? He didn't come back from a sleep. He didn't come back from some sort of coma. He came back to life, from death to life. Do you believe it? Now, just wait. You might not want to get too excited just yet, because you might be the person who gets to volunteer to help me demonstrate whether or not you believe something. Now, what we're going to demonstrate has nothing to do with whether or not you believe Jesus came back from the dead, but I want you to understand something. There is only one automatic outcome of belief. Do you know what it is? There's only one automatic outcome a belief. Children, go ahead and come on up. You do not have to come up if you don't want to. But if you'd like to, go ahead and come on up. Now, when we start using this old chair here, you're not going to be able to sit here. You'll be able to sit somewhere, but not here. And I got to make sure I'm not going to ruin anything, because things are different than they were the other day. So, TJ, forgive me. There we go. Okay. Do you guys have any idea what the one automatic outcome of belief is? Do any of you? Action. The one automatic outcome of belief is action. Meaning this, if you believe something, you act on it. You can't tell me that you believe a thing and then are unwilling to act on it. So I'm going to explain something to you. I need a volunteer. Not my kids. Somebody else. Come, sir. All you need to do is verify that this is not a tetherball. So go ahead and lift it up. Okay, does it feel like it weighs about a half a pound or 12 pounds? 12 pounds. See? 12-pound bowling ball. We went down to the Humboldt Bowling Alley thing, and I told him, I need an old bowling ball that's not good for anything. And he gave me this one. So we went ahead and we painted it. We hung it on a string. And I'm going to teach you something. I like physics. Does anybody here like physics? There are a couple weirdos. I love you. You're great. Physics is amazing. It's so much fun because you can do all sorts of things with it that are terrifying. Like this. There's a thing called the law of the pendulum. And the law of the pendulum states this. A pendulum in a perfect zero friction system can never swing further. Can never swing any further back than where it started. In a perfect system, it can never swing further back than that. Does anybody believe me? Does anybody not believe me? No, seriously, I need hands. Do you believe that a pendulum will not swing any further back than where it started? OK, Okay, raise your hand if you do not believe such a thing. Okay, I don't really know what to do with you. Okay, so here we go. I will demonstrate again. Right here, we got the bowling ball. It's swinging. It's going to come back to right here. See? Less far. And we don't have a zero friction system. A zero friction system would state that it comes exactly back to where it started. Now, the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Anybody? Okay, I need a volunteer. TJ Wells. They wanted TJ. TJ Wells. See, this might not work because he's an engineer. So, well, if we kill him, then it's just an engineer, right? Okay, I need everybody to step back here. Don't knock anything over. Step back. TJ, do you believe that the law of the pendulum works? You need to take, well, no, you could probably leave. Yeah, you might want to take him off. Okay, have a seat on the chair. Chair's got to move this way. This is why I had marks here, and they're gone. So we're going to make it up as we go. Okay, now, I need you to tip your head forward right like that. Now, look down, look right at the bowling ball. We're going to have you back up just a little bit. So you're just sitting on the chair, on the edge of it. Okay, now, slide forward. Chill out, people. Slide forward. You can just slide forward on the chair, I mean. Tip your head down. Okay, so if I'm right, all the harder it should hit your nose. Tip your head down just a little bit. It's right like that, okay? Are you ready? Do you believe it's going to... Whoo, he believes it. Okay, I must tell you, the last 5 inches, you would swear, there's no way it's stopping. I've only met one person ever in the history of my life who has been able to sit here and have a bowling ball swung at their face and not move. Her name was Allie Taylor, okay? Allie Taylor is a fantastic girl in the youth group back in Nebraska. And when it was all done, I said, how in the world did you do that? She said, I was so scared, but I knew one thing. There's no way you were going to hurt me. So she believed me, not the bowling ball. All right, we'll give one more person a try at this. No, somebody who's not ever done it. An adult or a kid, it doesn't matter. Any of you want to do it?
Me.
Okay, here's the deal. If you lean forward, it might bust your teeth out. Anybody else? You got to stay still. All right, Josiah.
No, he said
me. No, Josiah was the one who wanted to do it. Okay. I don't blame you. I wouldn't try it either. All right, the question is, again... The question is one of belief. It's, like I said, this has nothing to do with whether or not you believe in Jesus. So don't try to take this any further than I'm saying. This is only to make us realize true belief causes an action of belief. Isaiah, yeah, you need to move. Okay. Smush your nose in just a little bit. Ready? He's done it before. We set it up on, I don't know, sometime this week, and he got to practice. So thank you, guys. You can have a seat, and I want you to remember all the way through this morning, okay, that true belief always has one result, and that result is action. If there's no action, okay, if I hold this bowling ball up to my face, and I let it go, and I have the action of moving away, I don't believe. And I'm not knocking on anybody. It's terrifying. It's fun, but it's terrifying. But if you believe, if you truly, really believe, friends, your action will show it. And if it doesn't show it, then the thing that you know is you didn't believe. So we're going to talk about belief this morning. There was a man named Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was going to die. So Mary and her sister Martha, they sent word to Jesus, asking Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. because they had nowhere else to go. And when Jesus opted, we're not going to get into the theology behind Jesus and what he did, but it says that Jesus loved them so much, therefore, because he loved them, he did not go and heal Lazarus. He stayed where he was for two more days, guaranteeing Lazarus would die. Because he loved them, he let Lazarus die. We're not going to get into that this morning. So then Jesus shows up in Bethany, and Martha comes out to see him. And what does she say? Rightly, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. So Jesus, in John chapter 11, speaks to Martha. And he says this. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because Jesus is going to die and he's going to come back to life, and the same question's going to be asked of you and asked of me. Do you believe this? You got to figure that out. You got to ask yourself a question in this moment, on this day. Do I believe that Jesus lived on this earth a perfect, sinless life and died on a cross, a death he did not deserve, but I did, so that he could take on himself the very wrath of God? So that as he took all of this wrath from God on him, God would have none left to pour out on me. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, friends, then as that bowling ball swings and as the trials of life happen, as the bowling ball comes back at your face and as you've got to figure out in those last 8 inches, am I going to move or am I going to stay still? You are going to have to find that your action matches your belief. And if it doesn't match your belief, the one thing you know is you don't believe. So my question to you this morning is, do you believe? The answer to that question will have ramifications for eternity in your life. Because if you say you do not believe, and you do not believe that when you die, God's wrath was not put on Jesus on your stead, and it will be put on you as the right recipient of his wrath, and you will spend eternity separated from him and from who he is. If you say, yeah, I believe that, and you don't, you're no better off than the one who says, no, I don't believe, and doesn't. Because the reality is you don't. And if you say, yeah, I believe that, and you do, then today is a cause of celebration. Today is a cause of all of the great things that you could ever imagine happening in your life, happening to you all in one moment. But it is not a great day for everybody. Because it's the guarantee. His resurrection, friends, is the guarantee that there is no other way. He beat death. He beat hell. He beat sin. No one else can do that for you. Not even a little bit. Not even at all. Jesus is the only way to have that wrath taken off of you and given somewhere else. And the question then is, do you believe it? See, one of the issues that we have is we think maybe, just maybe, there's like a middle ground here. Somewhere in the middle of, yeah, I fully believe like all those crazy people like me. I don't believe at all. We think maybe there's somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I think I kind of believe that. I get that. I like this. I believe some. I had a conversation with a friend one time. If you don't know me very well, I haven't lived in Iowa all that long. 2.5 years now, I think. Yeah, 2.5 years. I had a conversation with a friend about the Cyclones. I'm a Cyclone fan, okay? Because they beat the Hawkeyes this year in the Cy-Hawk game. If they lose next year and the Hawkeyes win, I'll be a Hawkeye fan. I had a conversation with a friend about that. And his statement to me was that you're not a fan at all. His words were, I don't think I want you to be a fan of my team. Fair enough. But the reality is I can say, yes, I'm a fan of the Cyclones. But the reality is, I'm not really. There's not like a middle ground, because the truth is I'm sort of a fan of the Cyclones, and I'm sort of a fan of the Hawkeyes, and I'm sort of just a fan of nothing. Sort of a fan of nothing. And that middle answer that I give about my allegiance to either the Cyclones or the Hawkeyes, well, it shows that I don't have an allegiance anywhere at all. In Christianity, friends, any answer other than yes, I am totally bought into believing this, is the answer of no, I don't believe this. There's not a middle. God doesn't offer us some sort of exception clause to be sort of bought in and sort of not. He expects that belief in his Son drives us to action every day, drives us to action on every decision, drives us to action every moment with every breath that we breathe. There's not a time that you get off to say, well, I guess today I'm just sort of gonna, no. He sent his Son to take his wrath on himself so that we didn't have to, so that he could send his Spirit to dwell within us. That doesn't sound like he was half in. We don't get the opportunity to then be half in. We only get the opportunity to be fully all the way in. I remember going up to the Boundary Waters one time. If you've never been to the Boundary Waters, it's fantastic. It's like been the same for 3 millennia. You're not allowed to take any sort of motorized vehicle in past the first lake. First lake entry, you can use a motor under like 12 or 15 horsepower to get to the other side. Then you have to leave it. People leave motors chained to trees for a week or two at a time. And everyone leaves them. But anyway, it's another story. If you want a free motor, Boundary Waters. Just kidding. After that, you have to paddle, take a dog sled, or walk. I think you can ride horses. I'm not totally sure about that. You can't even fly airplanes over it. It is totally, totally backcountry. And we went up in there. And we spent a day going in. And we found this place. I don't even know the lake. We found this place to camp. And right next to where we were camping was a giant cliff. Giant meaning 25, 30 feet. And we wanted to jump off of it. So my dad, being the prudent one, jumped first to make sure that it wasn't shallow. Verified that if you got out 3 feet, you could not reach the bottom. I don't know how deep it was. More than deep enough. And we had to jump. I'm scared of heights. Few things in this world I'm scared of. Heights, even watching videos of people climbing things that are scary, ridiculously tall, makes my heart just go like this. I start to sweat. I don't like it. And we're going to all jump off this. I am two things. I'm scared of heights, and I'm determined to not ever let anyone know I'm scared of anything. And so everyone's jumping off the cliff. And I had to make a decision. I knew in my head that the water was not going to hurt me. I knew in my head that I couldn't almost possibly hit the rocks unless I just like fell off and slipped. If I jumped at all, I knew that I would be safe, and I had to decide at that very last moment, did I really believe it? Because when I believed it and my action actually came out of my belief, there was no turning back. I was in the air. Only thing beneath me was water, and I was going to hit it. That's the kind of belief, the kind of action that springs from belief that we're called to. I know people. And I know that as people, we're like that guy getting into the pool thinking that if he just walks in really slowly, maybe he'll get used to it. Now we know walking into a pool slowly is just a terrible idea. And you should always jump in. But in our Christian lives, we seem to walk in, see if we can wade, and then decide how far it's comfortable to wade in. When Jesus stands at the deep end, deeper than we can touch, and he says, hey, how about you come out here? Trust me. Believe me. I'm here. Now, I won't let you go. You may die. In fact, most of the disciples that he was speaking to would die for him. But even in dying for him, they lived with him after that. And he says, I'm out here. Come to me. Don't stay there. Don't wade in. Don't see how far it's comfortable. Jump in with 2 feet all the way without reservation, because that's the only response we can give. TJ did a really good job holding himself relatively still with the bowling ball coming at his face. I was pretty impressed. I was actually afraid none of you noticed that he moved. But you laughed, so you did. And I knew that. But we're not called to a sort of action that stops. When Jesus looks at Martha and he says, Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I will give you everything that you want, everything you think you need, everything that I know you need. I will give it to you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And then, when you believe, your life must follow. And if it doesn't, friends, you don't believe. I have never been accused of trying to make you feel good. And I will never stand here thinking, how could I make them feel good? But I want you to have an assurance in you that you have chosen to believe. And the only assurance that you can have is that because of your belief, you respond and live accordingly. And it will, I guarantee, God will give you an opportunity in this next week to believe in him and trust him and follow him in a way that other people look at and say, you're foolish. It's easy when you're talking about a story from 2,000 years ago to say, Jesus came back to life. And people will still look at you like you're crazy, you know. He was dead. He's not living. But just think what it was like for those disciples in those first moments, in those first months, in those first years, looking at their friends saying, I believe a guy you watched die is back to life. I believe a guy you watched die ascended into heaven to live with God forever at his right hand with him all the time. I believe that this guy that was killed came back to life and ascended into heaven, and he sent God as the Holy Spirit to live with us. Those people would think you're nuts. As much as people today will think you're crazy, those people so much more. But the question they had to answer was, did they believe it? Because if they believed it, I mean really actually believed it, then they would live it And from that belief would spring action. Now that drives us to a problem. And the problem is this. You can walk out of here and you could say to yourself, look at all the good things I do. Apparently, I believe. Friends, it doesn't start with doing good things and then backtracking to say, now maybe that proves or can make it so that I do believe. Maybe that will make it so that God is happy with me. There is a difference between loving and knowing Jesus and believing in him. And from that knowing him, from that loving him, from that believing in him, having your actions driven by that love, by that knowledge, and by that belief. There's a difference between that and simply trying to do good things, thinking that that will somehow make the other true. I'm not asking you to do nice things. I'm not asking you to do good things. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm asking you. The Bible is asking you. Jesus is asking you through his Spirit to believe. Not to do. To believe. And when you believe that this man really lived and really died and really lives again, when you believe it, your life changes. And I don't mean your life gets easy. More than likely, your life gets hard. More than likely, your life gets worse. Trusting in Jesus does not a big paycheck make. Trusting in Jesus does not a simple life give. Trusting in Jesus does not some sort of emotional happiness bring. Trusting in Jesus gives assurance of life with him forever. That's what he promises, and that's what he gives. And friends, we know he can give it because he came back to life. Why? The angel asks. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Do you not get it? He's not dead. He's alive. And now because he's alive, he offers that life to you if you believe it. And when you believe it, you're changed by it. Without exception. So, do you believe? Do you believe it? Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the immense, awesome opportunity to know your Son. And God, we're people who are easily distracted by this life. We are people who are easily distracted by convenience. We are people that are easily distracted by everything it seems under the sun. But I ask in this moment, God, that you so captivate our hearts and our attention. So make us understand who you are, that because of our belief, we're driven to action of following you. May our lives, Father, this week be lives that trust you. If we've never trusted you before, Father, I ask that you allow us to humble ourselves and bow before you. Confess our belief. Confess that you are the one to believe in. And for those of us, Father, who do believe, I pray that you drive us further and deeper than we've ever been, further and deeper than we've ever imagined, further and deeper to knowing you than we could ever dream even as possible. We love you. And we thank you for loving us, though we do not deserve it. Amen.